Let's park the ship.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
Hello, I'm back. You didn't get rid of me. Suck it, assholes. Audrey is back. Return of the King. Here she is.
Thank you for this that little monologue there.
I had to get that off my chest. It's been like 16 years since we recorded together.
Well, I think because like we released a podcast yesterday and like we're recording the day after, I'm like, wait, is it already time to do another one? I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
The days really just keep going.
The years start coming and they do not stop coming.
No, they don't. I have no concept of time anymore. I feel like this year has gone by in like a week, but sometimes days last years. I don't know. I don't know if that's just...
I hope this is why people listen to this podcast, is for our deeply philosophical takes on like just the mundanity of life and how
the,
time
slipperiness
is a
flat of time.
Circle.
I read an article about it that like people are losing their sense of time.
Oh, I definitely am.
Yeah.
And also my memory is, I can't remember anything that happened past like 2 weeks ago.
Wow. How do you even know that we're friends?
Well, because I'm reminded of this on a second by second basis, because we do not stop talking to each other ever.
Okay. I appreciate that you said, I don't stop talking to you. You made it like a wee thing. Hello, Misty. So that like all the listeners don't think that I just harass you with my love and affection.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Sorry, the cat.
How's the new house?
It's great. Guys, thank you so much for asking to exactly none of you, because you did not care, but I did move last weekend. My new house is wonderful. We did not have heat for the first 4 days that I was living here. So
who needs it when you're as hot as Audrey?
That was a little tough. Thank you. Thank you. Good one, Christina. And but we're here. We made it. I am currently recording on my work laptop because my personal laptop has gone
maybe
to a
we don't know
place. I'm just assuming the worst. It's fine.
It went over the rainbow bridge.
Wow, this is depressing.
Anyway, but we have a new house.
We have
That's
a new
so
house
good.
How are you? How's life?
Hi, I'm fine. Nothing really to report. Not a lot going on.
How's daylight savings treating you?
They shouldn't call it daylight savings. They should call it daylight
fucks you over.
Yeah. As you know, we are scholars of geography. Mm-hmm. And so a little something about Chicago's geography is that it's right on the date line between Eastern time zone and then Central time zone, whatever, wherever I am.
Yeah,
right now.
That's you. That's your time zone.
Anyway, so we get fucked by daylight savings because the sun starts setting at 4 p.m. It gets set at 4 p.m. So I am depressed.
You know what's really confusing is that I didn't know daylight savings was a thing until I was like 8, because Arizona is the only state that doesn't do it. They just don't do it.
I don't understand how you can like, how can you opt out?
I think they literally just passed a law. So half the year they're 3 hours behind and the other half of the year they're 4 hours behind.
We do things a little differently here.
Hey, here's a question.
What?
Would you like to talk about hockey?
I guess.
But not only hockey, would you like to talk about fashion?
I would love to talk about fashion.
The only thing that matters to me is things. I love clothes.
Can I tell them about the pair of pants that you DM'd me last night on Instagram
okay,
at like
10:30? These pants are cool. They're cool.
They are not
guys.
Cool.
I want them so bad.
Okay, let me describe them and then you can tell them what you see in them.
Okay.
They're like Jankos.
They're not. They're
okay. They're like a skinny fit Janko. Like it's tight in the ass. No. Let me describe the pants that I saw with my eyes. They're like tight in the ass and they're like really high waisted. Cool. Whatever.
They're like
80s okay. I'm not done yet. Sorry. It's like a violent flare out from there. They're just like pantaloons. More like a pantaloon than it is a Janko.
They're mom jeans.
Okay, no, they're like big though. They're like big pants.
I own
and they're
like
black and
six
white,
pairs
but they're not
pants that fit like this.
But there are. They're those pants.
Stop being mean about my pants.
Okay, and they're also like black and white, but not striped. It's like random patches are black.
They're half and half. It looks like somebody cut a pair of black jeans in half and a pair of white jeans in half and then stitched
them
together.
I'm going to look at them right now.
So that one leg is black and one leg is white. And then there's one white pocket on the back and one black pocket on the back, like a checkerboard, kind of. They look so cool.
Okay, they're not quite as big. They're not quite as wide as I
remember.
They're
just like regular jeans.
No, they're not. They're not.
The fit is like a regular mom jean. Anyway, I will post a picture of these if you guys want me to. And we can
you
vote
look like the Joker
on whether or not I should buy them because they are on sale right now. Okay, so fashion. We, on this podcast, we love a good jersey release.
We do.
This jersey release in particular is very important to you.
Absolutely. We have to show off Texas's long history with the sport of ice hockey.
Yes.
Very important to our heritage.
So the Winter Classic jerseys dropped this week. That's going to be on New Year's Day?
Yes.
New Year's Day in Dallas, Preds and the Stars. Saw a lot of bad opinions about these jerseys this week.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I think that they were all male opinions, first of all. And they
so
don't know
wrong on their face.
Yeah, it's like facially unacceptable opinions. I really like Nashville's. I love like the diagonal cursive.
Yes, I think it's really cool. I love the patch, the little saber-toothed tiger patch. It's blue. It's really cool looking. I like the arm stripes. I like the striped gloves a lot.
Yes, and I like that they didn't try to do something super, super old school hockey. You know, like crib something from Northeastern hockey. I was trying to say Yankee hockey.
Right. Yankee hockey. Yeah.
That Yankee hockey shit. Yeah, like I like that they really just kind of did a throwback to their own sort of uniforms that they would have.
It is apparently a tribute to the Nashville Dixie Flyers, which was some sort of minor league team in like the 60s. So,
I don't know if I like that anymore.
You know, that famous minor league hockey team, the Nashville South Will Rise Agains, or whatever.
Wait, their jerseys were like kind of gray, right?
Yeah, it was a different color scheme.
Oh, Jesus.
But the text and everything was the same. Like the font, you know, like that's kind of where they took it from.
Oh, okay. I was like, if they made...
They made Confederate jerseys.
Confederate gray. Ah, I feel like I would have read about this. but similarly, Dallas sort of did a throwback of their own, and as we all know, Dallas is only as we all know, we're all trivia students of the Dallas Stars, so we know that they have only had a team since like 1999. Obviously, there's not a lot of history to draw from there, but they did what I kind of hoped that they would do and sort of did like a high school football.
They went full Friday Night Lights with it.
It's so sick.
It looks very
cool. They have patches that look like patches. They have Letterman jackets, and it kind of looks like it says STD on it, which I obviously love. And, like, they toned down the green a little bit. And I normally like Stars Victory Green because it looks good on me, but, like...
That's why I like the Nashville ones. This will look great on me. Will look really good with my hair.
Exactly.
And that's what's most important in the end.
Is will this
look good on me?
Pick your team. Will their colors look good on me? I don't know if I love it. I know that they're trying to do like a vintage look with like the green pants and the green shirt.
The monochrome.
Yeah, it's just like a lot of green. But they're going to be wearing their jerseys like for other games. But they're going to be wearing the normal pants. So this has been my monologue about the Dallas Stars for the week.
If you bought a Winter Classic jersey, whose would it be?
Well, guess what, bitch?
What?
They only made, like, they didn't make enough. So I wanted to get a Hintz jersey or maybe a Miro one, but they did not make enough, and they're not going to have them until after the Winter Classic. Unless you want, like, a Jamie Benn one, which maybe I could be convinced, but...
Do you want to get Ben and Sagan ones? Little couples action.
Oh my god, that would be so cute. No, I...
You already have a Segs one, that's right.
Yeah, like a guy I briefly dated got me a Segs jersey.
That was nice of him.
I like both of them. I think they have the Puck Bunnies Fashion Police seal of approval.
Yes, I agree. I really like those Nashville. I just want the little... I don't even like the Preds that much. I just am in love with that little patch that they've got.
The ones that they have, like, normally where it's a yellow circle and, like, the stars, I dead ass thought that was a Dragon Ball. Like, you know, the show Dragon Ball. When I was first getting into hockey, I was asking someone, I was like, why the fuck does this team have Dragon Ball? So it's like, is this like a tie-in? It lives on in my heart.
Since I'm back, since we're back on our regular schedule, should we try and get some misery business out of the way?
I think we have a little bit of a misery business to attend to.
I cannot wait to get sued by Paramore.
She does not play that song anymore, so she's basically given it to us.
Thank you.
So first up, we got to really pour one out for the Detroit Red Wings.
An original 16. What if I just like go full like TSN this season and just every time we talk about the Rangers or the Red Wings or like the Habs, I'm just like, well, it's really sad to see an original 16 not perform. It's such bullshit. The reason that we are talking about the Red Wings this week is because we got a text from someone this week who asked, when are the Wings going to fire Jeff Blashill? This is bad, even with Stevie Y starting the rebuild.
It is really bad. So we took a little look at their record because I'm not going to be fucking watching any Red Wings games. And wow, they have not won a game since their opening week.
That's bad. They are 4-12-1.
Woohoo!
Yikes.
Yikes, boys.
Fellas, what are we doing?
And you just take a look at their roster and it's just like, oh my God, you don't have anyone. There is no one on this team apart from like Dylan Larkin who's underperforming this season.
Right.
Who's you could even remotely consider to be like an all-star.
You've got Tyler Bertuzzi. You've got Dylan Larkin. You've got...
Tyler's been good.
Anthony Mantha, who's been great. And they made a trade last night. They traded Jacob Delarose for Robbie Fabry. And I was like, who the fuck is Jacob Delarose?
Who are these boys? Are you sure these aren't just like the Sims who you bump into in like the Sims Community Center where they just have really random names and then you never see them again? Like that's who those guys are.
An algorithm created them. And so how can you expect them to perform well under those conditions?
You can't.
It's kind of like in this situation, similar to how the Oilers roster is put together, where you've got maybe one solid line and then a bunch of guys who are maybe AHL players at best. The thing about the Wings is that like they have definitely, they are in rebuild mode full on. Mm-hmm. And so what's hard for them is that they've got these guys coming up who are really young, who are playing junior hockey right now or playing in college. And so you've got at least... 3 or 4 more years before maybe you're making the playoffs.
Yeah, and so even worse than the Oilers, they don't have sort of a generational talent like Connor McDavid. Sorry, Dylan Larkin. Connor McDavid, you are not. And like they tried to shake things up with hiring Yzerman. Over the summer, they made that big move with him, and I think people had a lot of hope.
Right, but... it was also a huge homecoming, you know, for him. Mm-hmm. One of the best players to ever play for the Wings to come back and take this team through this hard process that they have to go through to be contenders again. But you can't expect that change to happen overnight.
No, and what's been really surprising is just reading about this skid they're in. I mean, they're getting pretty upset to press in like a way that you don't see very often. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Dylan Larkin was basically quoted saying, we just can't pull a whole 60 minutes of hockey together.
Right.
And that is exactly what's happening.
I actually think it's kind of refreshing when players do that, when they're
not
to say that they're, you know, throwing anybody under the bus or anything, but when you're not just speaking in cliches and you're being honest about where you're at, you're not trying to sugarcoat it. I think that's kind of nice.
Oh, I absolutely do too. And I think more players should do that because I think it makes reading about the sport more humanizing and interesting.
Yeah, fuck your pain. You should be expressing it for our pleasure.
Yeah, like your gladiators bleed for me. But I mean... when it comes to hockey, though, I do feel bad for them because it's like, what the fuck are you going to say? I mean, like, honestly, sometimes it do be like the pucks just weren't bouncing the right way. Oh, God, it's such a weird sport.
It's hard because, like, they have a very devoted, loyal fan base. And so to kind of know that this might turn itself around, but not for the next, towards a future that you're not really sure that you'll see or whatever, like that you know, you can't really envision 2023 from now, or at least I can't.
Audrey.
But you know what I mean?
Just like you a can't... future you won't see. This we'll 50-year rebuild.
We'll all be dead of climate change before the Red Wings successfully rebuilt their roster.
Oh my God. No, I just love this idea of like an eternal rebuild. Like, we have always been the Red Wings. We will always be rebuilt.
Here's the thing. In a certain way, we are all in eternal rebuilds of our own. So
that's true.
They should have fired their coach like last week, in my opinion.
Exactly. The Red Wings should have fired their coach last week. Also, we were born dying. I don't think that they were the only entry on Misery Business, were they?
No, no. Let's talk about the LA Kings, who are also not good.
Not good.
Not last in the league, but not good. But mostly I wanted to talk about Drew Doughty, who has just been a huge baby this week.
I love it. He's been such a dick that it's almost endearing.
But like, not even a dick. He's just been whiny.
Right.
And that's not enjoyable to me. Like, the thing that I enjoy so much about his rivalry with Matthew Tkachuk is that...
It's pure. Sorry I elbowed you in the face one time.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, was that you? Ago. I didn't even notice.
I'm too busy living my life and being a baller in Calgary.
Matthew Tkachuk is straight up vibing, and Drew Doughty is just really upset about it.
And tonight we saw footage of Brady getting in on
it. Oh, I love
this. I know. Yeah. So he just like, he gave a little sass to Drew tonight.
All we need is for their sister, their younger sister, to also just like, I think she's like a really good lacrosse player. Just give him a little cross check in the back with your lacrosse stick next time you're at a game.
Keith, get in there too. Just get the whole damn fam.
World star Tkachuk family beats up on Drew Doughty in the parking lot of the Staples Center.
Thank you for speaking that into existence, because I will be manifesting that for the rest of my life.
So the backstory to this is that this drama that Drew Doughty has kind of been carrying on with the media and with kind of the Vancouver Canucks, it started almost a full month ago at this point when the Canucks blew out the LA Kings. They beat them 8-2, like the second week of the season.
Yeah.
And Drew Doughty, after the game, in, you know, like a press scrum, goes, I ain't going to park it. It's fucking just embarrassing. A team like that should not be beating a team like ours 8-2. There's absolutely no way. So because these teams are both in the Western Conference, like, they play each other a lot, right? So they played each other again 2 weeks later, and the Canucks beat them 5-3. Someone on the Canucks had the genius, I mean, kind of inspired in the vein of the way that the Canes took a bunch of jerks last year. Mm-hmm. They took this team like that turn of phrase and have turned it around into a marketing thing, and, you know, have turned it into t-shirts. They've turned it into like social media assets. It's really smart. It's like a really smart move.
Honestly, from like the Canucks team, their social media team is usually really awful.
Yeah.
So I'm actually pretty like impressed that they managed to turn this into lemonade. They printed off a bunch of them of this stuff, and I think a team like that like sold it as like a wallpaper, I guess, for people. Mm-hmm. Like before the meeting again with the Kings, where they again thrashed them.
I love to see Elias Pettersson just walking all over a bunch of 65-year-old men.
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of my takeaway from that. It was like, do you know what team you play for,
right,
Drew Doughty? You play with the senior center.
So basically, he immediately started to walk back these comments after it was kind of getting blown up into this stirring up shit rivalry thing. And so when somebody asked him about it, when the Canucks were going to be in LA in like the past week, he said, the guy's an idiot that made all that happen. What I was trying to say is that they're a young team, we're an old team, and we lost the game. And it's just ridiculous for a veteran to lose that bad to any team in the league, not only a young team. That's what I meant by those comments, just standard people making it run. So he basically just like fake news the Canucks.
Also, the Canucks are, yeah, they have some young people, but they're not, like, babies.
This is bullshit. It's bullshit on several levels. It's bullshit mostly because when you go back and you listen to the audio, you know exactly what he's saying. Like, the context is clear that he's saying, oh, a team like that, like a team like Vancouver. If he meant a young team like that, he would have said a young team like that.
Right.
Also, Canucks players were already turning that phrase into kind of a rallying cry before the Vancouver press or even the team itself was turning it into mm-hmm. something. Like, Bo Horvat says that he heard the quote and was using it kind of as motivation for the team.
And I think he was also quoted as saying that, like, you know, we see this stuff.
Right.
We all get on Twitter and we see it. We're aware of the reputation that mm-hmm. we have and we don't think it's fair. And of course we're going to turn it into a weapon against them.
It's so funny to me that, like, you're seeing it with Drew Doughty. We saw it a lot last year with, like, Tom Wilson, where mm-hmm. comments get blown up into something, into more fuel for a rivalry or fuel for drama or something. And they try and turn it on the press, like on the people who are covering them, which is just, it's so funny. And I guess that's like a tradition that's basically as old as time now. But then you have members of the media, like of sports media, saying we shouldn't ask hard questions like this because if we get interesting quotes from players and publish them, then guys will stop talking to us.
Right. It's just like such a weird media spiral to go down to. And to me, it seems obvious. If I were someone's player agent, I'd be like, okay, you're going to be super available to the media and, you know, be a normal human being mm-hmm. and make them like you. Because then the bare minimum that Austin Matthews did to be available to the media, and like, they all love him.
Right.
You think you would just want to lean into that, but I think you're right. And I think that a lot of players would just start shutting down if the hard questions got answered.
And it's also, I mean, to a certain extent, I do have sympathy for Drew Doughty because he is, mm-hmm. he's given, you know, his entire career to the LA Kings. And to be a 29-year-old in the first couple years of like this new 8-year contract, like that's the rest of your career is going to be spent there as well. And you're kind of, you're signing yourself away to being a part of this rebuild that you might not have seen coming.
Right. I wanted to talk about that, actually. And I think that's where a lot of his frustration mm-hmm. is coming from. So Drew Doughty signed an $80 million contract last June. So June of 2018 mm-hmm. is actually part of why Erik Karlsson's was valued so much higher. But anyway, so, you know, he's locked in there. They won a cup in 2015. So he and Kopitar are sort of the anchors for the team right now.
Right.
Everybody else is just,
they're the daddies.
Or there's like my new, I have one player that I'm obsessed with on there.
Right. Who's literally what, 17 years old?
No, he's 25, like undrafted college player. He was a walk-on. No, he literally was a walk-on. Like he was a tryout. Sean Walker. Sean Walker. We stand Sean Walker on this podcast. Also, he's really hot. Anyway, again, to his credit, he has been extremely candid about
his frustration.
About his frustration. Mm-hmm. He literally said to Pierre LeBrun, I didn't sign up for this kind of rebuild. They didn't tell me that it was going to be like this. Right. And for both
nobody told me there'd be days like this.
Oh my god, I love that song. But that does suck. For all of his faults, he's an extremely talented defenseman, like Norris winning. He's
fine.
Good, Audrey.
He's fine.
He's good. I can understand his frustration with management not telling him the extent to which they would be rebuilding.
The Kings had this long situation where they were just dragging all these huge contracts with them for these like mm-hmm. old dudes, and so
their pension funds,
right? Exactly. And so yeah, you couldn't have seen that coming, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me, I think, as somebody who works in media, to mm-hmm. see people who work in sports media take this as saying, oh, I should take a step back and not do my job.
Right. I understand
the importance of cultivating relationships with people mm-hmm. like that. But also, I think in some cases, with players who may be in situations similar to Doughty's, you have to go in being completely aware that they're setting you up to fail in a way. Like, they want you to come away feeling frustrated.
Mm-hmm. It's just like a weird spiral down that like you don't really see in other sports. It's not like an option to not talk to the media if you're a basketball player. Like, it's just part of it. But for some reason in hockey, it's like you get away with it.
I think players are so encouraged to not have loud personalities, too. Like, it's definitely a cultural thing where your team identity is everything, and you standing out by what you say instead of what you do is not encouraged.
It's very Nordic of them.
I know.
That's so boring. I want them
that
to be.
That sucks.
I want them to be brats.
Yeah.
I want them to be brats like the Kachucks. That's why I like them.
A Kachuck on every team. Let's
make
it happen.
Oh, my God.
That's the dream.
But what's next for the Kings? They're talking about trading Tyler to Toffoli.
Toffoli.
There we go. They're going to probably yeet him. I mean, and he's another one of the guys who was on the team that won the cup, and he's good.
Yeah. He was a baby when they won the cup.
I know, but I think he scored one of the game-winning goals or something. It was a big deal.
He's one of Eva's favorite guys. Shout out Eva, friend of the pod.
Good friend of the pod. He's a cutie. Like, he's got real curly hair. I don't know. Oh, can we talk about this text that we got?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so speaking of Drew Doughty and also the Kachucks, as we constantly are, we got a text about it. Hey, bunnies, first time texter here. What are your thoughts on Drew Doughty's mother scolding him about his rivalry with Matthew Kachuk? And then she linked to the article. And Audrey, his mom, dead ass, is like, stop it. You're being embarrassing.
She's right. I mean, he is being embarrassing.
She is right. Matthew Kachuk is like 21 years old, and it's just so embarrassing for him to have this feud going for like 2 years.
It's also, maybe this is why he's upset, is because his mom is telling him to stay away from the media. So he's trying to make Mama Doughty feel better. But whatever. I mean, you're a grown man. No sympathy.
I don't know. I don't want the rivalry to ever stop, because Matthew Kachuk is just such an important
And there's still,
to me.
In this sport, there is a lack of good, healthy, bad blood rivalries.
Yes.
Like, they tried so hard to make this happen unorganically with Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin, like, 8 years ago. And they're like, I don't
just
care. I don't want to do this. But it just goes to show that you cannot inorganically create something like this.
No, what needs to happen is a unmovable object, like an unmovable dumbass, needs to beat the unstoppable dumbass. And they have to collide.
Right, exactly. And that's the formula.
And that is definitely what has happened here. It's beautiful. It's wonderful to behold.
Do you want to take some more calls? Would you like me to read this text first?
I would love you to read me a text, madame.
Hi, bunnies. Collison here, a tired Avs fan in Oakland. Quick question, because I try to read the entire internet every day at work, I've recently become aware of Visco girls. So what team is the NHL's most Visco squad? Thanks much, and go Avs go. That's right.
Should we say the team at the same time?
I need to think about mine a little bit more. Actually,
do you think about, I mean, just do you really need to think that hard about it?
I've been giving it a lot of thought. So Visco Girls, the main platform that this is all based on is Instagram, right?
No, it's Visco.
Well, yeah, but Visco is a photo sharing app and it's all the same.
Okay, yeah. Semantics, sorry.
Right. So I've been trying to think about the team that's most obsessed with like aesthetics. And I
Okay, well, I'm just going to
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You say yours. I have mine.
I'm just going to say mine because you're just fucking around. It's Toronto.
Oh, my
Maple
God.
Leafs.
No, wait. That's what I was going to say.
I know, because it's right. It's just the right answer.
It's just the right answer. Oh, my God. Thank God. I was worried my instincts were wrong.
I know. That's why I was just like, Audrey, you know this
Spit
answer.
It out.
You already know it. You know it in your heart. Like, it's there. Of course.
God, yes.
Whenever I think Visco girl, I automatically think
Mitch Marner.
William Nylander. Or Mitch Marner or Austin.
Yeah, I think of all of them. Not only because they're addicted to posting, but just because of like the general fashion. Mm-hmm. They want to be really trendy. Also, like, Toronto's a very trendy city. There's lots of media attention on them. They kind of have to be basic bitches of the NHL.
They do. I'm looking at my notes that I wrote for this, and it was just, honestly, maybe just the entire Leaf squad.
Yeah.
Because I did it by, like, individual player. So I have some runner-ups.
Okay, go ahead.
For most, like, Visco players. Rupe.
Oh, God, I love him. If I was ever transformed into a man, I would want to be Rupe Hintz, because every single outfit that he wears, that he documents on Instagram, I want to own. He is the goth prince of my aesthetic dreams. He looks so good.
I highly recommend following him on Instagram. He posts a lot, and he posts his fits all the time. They're really good. And someone who has recently become a VSCO girl, and I do love to see it, is Burakovsky.
Yes, Andre Burakovsky is living his new dream VSCO girl life in Colorado. Colorado was kind of my runner-up here because...
Yeah.
Colin Wilson, who is kind of a more obscure, he's not like a superstar in the league, but he's extremely VSCO girl. If you guys follow him on Instagram, he has great tattoos. His girlfriend is very like,
she's
21st
so
century hippie, kind of got the anthropology aesthetic going on.
That was a really good
one. I wish I was a VSCO girl. If I was still in high school, I would be a VSCO girl, unfortunately.
You can still be one now. You can be the VSCO girl of media. I could be the VSCO girl of law.
Hey bunnies, it's Beth from Chicago. I think I'm officially a long time now. And I'm calling because I called, I think, last week or the week before. And in the course of that call, I remember I kind of was talking shit about Connor Carrick's Instagram presence. And I reflected upon that and I was wondering if I was being unfair. And I decided, no, I'm sticking with it. He is insufferable. But it did make me think about one of my all-time favorite Instagram presences that I wanted to make sure you guys were aware of, which is Vladimir Tarasenko. He has some incredible young hot dad content, and I never really like cared much about him previously, like a lot of people before they won the cup, but I never even thought he was like very attractive especially, but then I started following him on Instagram, and he's got the three cutest little kids. He's got that teeny, teeny baby that was just born and was in the cup, but most importantly, the true stars are his two older kids. I think the oldest son, I think, is the son of his wife's from a previous marriage, which is only important because his middle kid looks just like him, and then the two oldest kids are, like, really, really close. This is very convoluted, but to paint you a picture, today's Instagram story content just showcases how these two older boys are just obsessed with each other. The little toddler, he's, like, three now, is learning to skate, and he's, like, toddling towards the ice, on the ice, towards the glass, and then he, like, slams in the glass at the end. And the older brother is his little face, like, pressed up against the glass and is, like, rooting for him and is watching him. And it's just, like, filled with content like that of the older brother just, like, doting on the middle brother. And I guess, like, I just pined for it when I was little. I mean, my brother were not close like that, although we were fine now. But I guess I always felt very bittersweet for little kids that obviously are super, super close friends as young siblings. Anyway, just wanted to make sure you guys were following Vladimir. And I guess the question is, what are some other hot hockey dad Instagram or social media accounts that people should follow? All right. Thanks so much. Bye.
Okay. Yes. His kids are very cute.
There was a really great ESPN deep dive basically into his life. Mm-hmm. And it talks about his relationship with his wife's kid, who he's adopted as his own son.
So it's his wife's son from a previous marriage.
Yes. It's really, really cute. They also have an ice rink underneath their house, which is pretty sick.
Wait, you don't have an ice rink underneath your house?
I mean,
that's weird. We all it's kind of weird.
I've never been ice skating. I'm afraid of the ice. So this is a great question to ask us because Audrey and I are constantly sending each other pictures of people's children, mm-hmm. of hockey players' children, saying, oh, this is us. This is us. And I just did not think about how weird that was until now.
Hot dads to follow on Instagram.
TJ Oshie, bam.
Well, Christina would say TJ Oshie if you asked literally any question about any hockey player.
But I am right. I also have Ovi because his baby's big.
Oh, that's a big boy.
Every time I see a picture of Alex Ovechkin's child, I'm like, oh, I don't
He's
know how that
large.
Came out of his wife. The baby's too, my brain
too
goes,
big.
Too big.
Too big.
Too big. He's really cute and like perfectly anatomically fine.
He's just
child.
Like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yes, he's
very
so
big.
Brock Besser is not a father.
Yeah, dogs don't count.
No. He's always taking pictures with his nephew.
Oh, yeah. Really he is a cute kid. I'm baby.
And if you want a weird dad to follow, Brent Burns is constantly posting, like, strange
And his kids are
his
funny. His kids are really funny.
So he lives up on a ranch,
He's
guess,
a gigantic ranch, yeah.
He's always doing, like, weird workouts with his family. And there's snakes involved. And I'm like, this is basically the hockey version of Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty. Chris Letang, obviously, beautiful man.
Oh, yes.
Gorgeous kids. Is addicted to posting glamour shots of him and his kids and his beautiful wife. So speaking of the Red Wings, full circle, underrated hot dad in the NHL is Mike Green. Played for the Caps.
Oh, he's so hot.
Plays for the Red Wings now. So hot. Adorable kids. His wife, I think, is pregnant right now. His wife is so cool.
She's also so hot.
And she's like a professional photographer. So they are just pumping out the content on both their accounts. So if you're into cute kids and if you're into cool couples, that's a good one.
All right. So another text we got was someone was tweeting last night about Evander Kane agitating Chara, but not going so far as to fight him. And the person tweeting thought that was strange, which made me think that this is Brad Marchand's MO. And he basically never fights, thus never giving the satisfaction to those he's aggravating, which makes me think that Brad Marchand is the hockey player personification of edging. And one of those ruined orgasm videos, send tweet.
Do not send tweet. Do not send tweet.
Do not send.
Save
no,
in drafts.
Text.
Save in drafts.
Ruined orgasm videos? Is that like one of the
I think that's a thing.
Games?
No, I think that's like a kink.
Oh. I would never. If I had an orgasm, I would not ruin it.
I would simply not ruin it.
If I have ever had an orgasm, then I would simply let it happen.
This is such a cursed concept.
This is a text that I was, whenever I was preparing for the show, because I do that, I saw and then tweeted, like, everyone who sends in text is actually funnier than we are.
Yes.
This is absurd.
I would love to see Zdeno Chara beat Evander Kane's ass. Does fighting belong in hockey? Maybe not. But regardless of context, I would like to see it.
He doesn't have to fight him in the rink. Just
anywhere.
On the street.
Hey bunnies, this is Catherine from Detroit. Loving season two so far. My partner and I went to a wedding a few weeks ago, and they said that the girl had been the guy's puck bunny in high school. And this was, let's be clear, this was before y'all struck a blow for feminism by reclaiming the term. So they thought this was like a cool and normal thing to call themselves. The puck bunnies were apparently supposed to come to the guys' games and buy them gifts, and in return they could wear their sweatshirts. And yes, again, I must reiterate, they were called puck bunnies. I just wanted some confirmation that, yeah, this is weird for teenagers to be calling themselves. Anyway, loving the show. Bye.
So, Catherine, I don't know how you've gone through your whole life and never experienced this culture.
Yeah, this is just high school.
This is high
specifically
school.
In the South.
Yeah. So I guess they probably do the same thing up north, but like she said,
for hockey, because it's
hockey.
Big.
Where I grew up, I basically grew up in the cinematic universe of Friday Night Lights, the TV show. Mm-hmm. So for every sport, every varsity sport, there was like a girl component where you would like do stuff for the boys.
Normal gender role stuff, you know.
For the boys. There were the Panthers sweethearts, which were their football team's puck bunnies, and they would like bake them cakes and stuff and like put them in their locker and like greet their locker before game days. There were the Diamond Dolls, who did the same thing for the baseball team. And then this one's going to sound really bad. And if anyone is from Lufkin who's listening to this podcast, I'm really sorry that I'm blowing up our spot like this. But then there was the LHS soccer senoritas.
Oh, no.
Because the soccer team was mostly Hispanic.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. I know.
That's really bad. At my high school, the big thing was on Fridays, you know, when there were football games, the players would all have to wear suits to school. Like, they would have to dress really nice. And the cheerleaders would wear their uniforms. But a football player would give a cheerleader their jersey to wear over their uniforms. So the big thing was which player you got to, like, wear their number all day.
Oh, my God.
Huge status thing.
What did they do for the flag girls like you? Did you get to wear someone's drumsticks?
No, we also had to dress up. I forget if we had to do it for every game day or for just like days before we had competitions. But it was really embarrassing because I never, ever wanted to wear dresses to school. And then I had to wear dresses to school.
I was in like pom squad mm-hmm. in high school, and we had to wear dresses on the first day of school, and then every Thursday we had to wear jeans and our like Panther Pride shirt, and then every Friday we had to wear a dead ass windsuit all matching with like monograms.
That sounds great. I wish I had worn more windsuits in high school.
It was awesome. I walked so loud. Swish, swish, it was swish, like swish, 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 swish. And we all look so cool. I wish I still had
Christina
it.
Drill Team ASMR.
There is an idea. There's some Patreon money that'll pay for your therapy.
But that is kind of wild. My high school did not have a hockey team, obviously. And my college did not have a hockey team. A whole new world .mp3. But we're happy to lead the charge in turning this phrase that we didn't really know went that deep. We just thought it was funny. Like, again, I cannot emphasize how little thought went into naming this show.
Literally, we were both talking like, oh my god, it'd be so funny if we had a podcast. And we named it Puck Buddies. And you were like, oh my god, that's so funny.
And here we are.
I didn't know it was like a real ass thing. And that's why we will never gain a major market sponsor.
That's correct.
Is this the end of the road for us?
Yeah, this is it. If you guys would like to call in with any questions or suggestions for next week's episode, you can hit our line at 774-318-6952.
How do you remember that?
I just read it off the Google Doc in front of me is how I remembered that. And please remember to rate and review us on iTunes, guys. Please. If you provide me with proof that you rated and or reviewed us on the podcast platform of your choice, I will...
I'm very excited to hear what comes next, because this is going to influence if I do it.
A polite handshake the next time we see each other in person.
That's not going to be good enough for me. If you rate and review us, you have to rate and review. You can't rate or review. If you rate and review us on iTunes, I will... Audrey cuts off the audio here.
Beep, 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 beep.
No, but seriously, that really helps us for some. I think it helps the algorithm. I don't know. Who's to say? It's also nice. And when I'm sad, I look at
that. That's true. That is so true. It is free therapy for us. You can also follow us on Twitter at puckbunnies_pod or on Instagram at puckbunniespod.
You can also donate to us directly on Patreon if you would like to do that and continue helping Audrey with stuff.
Just in general.
Just life, you know. You can go to patreon.com/puckbunniespod.
No, just Puck Bunnies.
Just, I know, I was like, did you hear the hesitation in my voice? I don't know. Just fucking, if you Google Puck Bunnies podcast, it comes
I'm
up.
I'm Audrey.
I'm Christina.
And this has been Puck Bunnies. We will see you guys next week.
See you later, alligator.
Bye.
Sorry I said that.
Sorry you said what?
See you later, alligator.
Silly sandbags. Stupid scarecrow. Jack-o'-lantern, chupacabra. Sick menorah, candelabra. Welcome to